Florida State versus Wake Forest. Michael, we lost to some trees last week. Are we going to lose to the forest this week? I don't know, man. Florida State, the Noles need a win in the absolute worst kind of way. You're coming off a bye week. It's homecoming. But, man, this is not your mama's Wake Forest team, right? They are coming in 5-2 on the season, looking for another win under their belt. And so, man, look, I know the season hasn't gone the way we want. I know a lot of people don't really even want to hear about this team anymore, but it's the game on the schedule, so it's the game we're going to talk about. And we appreciate you guys joining us. We appreciate you guys sticking with us through the tough times, you know what I mean, that we're going through here. But again, we're going to break it down. We got some other things to talk about. Some more coaching carousel has fired up again. Been an insane offseason, or well, it's not even offseason yet, insane coaching cycle season. So we got some more news to talk about there as well. But, you know, again, Michael, we're going to get into this one. Hopefully Florida State can get a win on Saturday because, man, they need something positive to end this four-game skid. So before we jump into that, how are you, my friend? And happy to be on another episode with you.
Oh, thank you, Jesse, for having me. And you're right, man. We cannot miss the forest for the trees, right? We cannot let a loss to Stanford turn into a loss to Wake Forest. And so hopefully the bye week has done some good mental work, really, more so than anything else, really. They just need a lot of mental work. And hopefully that will spurn on this team to get back to its winning ways. That's our hope. And we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, look, I know we all kind of want the same end result at the end of the season, but daggone it, it'd be nice to talk about a couple wins along the way. And so, yeah, this is one of your last two home games the rest of the season, so it certainly would be nice to win this one. I expect Doak's probably going to be a little bit on the light side for this one. Yeah. If you are going, man, don't go there just to boo. At least go there and cheer the team on. Yeah. You know what I mean? Maybe when Mike Norvell runs out, you can boo a little bit during that, but other than that, man, don't be that person. But let's start with some quick updates before we get into this actual game. Obviously, the hot news is LSU has fired Brian Kelly. And, you know, this is one of those that kind of hit us in a couple ways as Florida State fans, right? You think, first off, man, that's what it looks like when you're serious about winning games, because they're paying a $50+ million buyout to get rid of him, and he wasn't even really losing. Now, I understand they got the brakes beat off of him by Texas A&M, but they're not losing nearly at the rate that we have been. And so I think this – you know, it just kind of fires up the anger drums for Florida State fans to see another coach firing when they're doing better than we are. And, you know, I also think the second way that this hits, man, is like when you look at that LSU job coming up, that is without a doubt one of the best jobs in America. It's probably instantly the best job available on the market right now. And so, you know, as much as we hate to admit it, Florida State does kind of get pushed down the notch one more spot if you were to open up that coaching job. And so, you know, again, man, I will say this. I think Florida State is still a very attractive job, and you could still attract some good names if it comes open. But the more that these jobs come open of this caliber, you know, again, Oklahoma's a job that could be in question. You got Auburn, that's a job that could be in question. Now, I'm not going to say every one of those is better than Florida State, but they're, you know, the more big jobs that come open, the more I become a little bit worried that maybe our job is not going to come open because they don't want to go up against that type of competition, especially you got Florida there too. And, you know, like we were talking about before the show, once you start poaching coaches from other jobs, those jobs open too. That's like you could see Ole Miss come open if Florida poaches Lane and things like that. And so I think those are some things to watch. You know, man, again, I just come back to like, you don't know what's going to happen next year. And so I think if you're going to make the change at any point, you can't necessarily let that influence you. But man, if you get down to your third, fourth, or fifth option, like that's not going to be ideal for you. And so I think it is something to watch. You know, obviously they said they were going to kind of evaluate things at the end of the season. But man, I'll tell you what, I think that if you lose the Wake, I think that vote of confidence is going to hold up about as well as our defense has. Because I think that the defense won't be the only thing to get torched. I think that statement will get torched as well. And you might see him get fired before the end of the season. But I'll throw it back to you for some thoughts on the LSU situation. Other than this, Michael, you know things have to be bad in Baton Rouge when you promote Alex Atkins to your primary play caller. I don't know if they know this isn't the NFL, but tanking to get the first round draft pick doesn't happen in college. And so it appears that's what they're doing by promoting Atkins. It's not going to look good. Or they're going to go on a tear and win every game the rest of the season. And we're going to be left scratching our head.
Which would be wild. Alex Atkins as the offense. He went from fired Florida State disgrace offensive line coach offensive coordinator just in title alone to tight end coach at LSU, and now he's calling plays now. Like,
man, but bro's been fired twice in 2 years, so it's good because I'm sure they're not going to retain him. So, man, it's not surprising to us, but not going good for you, guy.
Oh, man, that's just crazy. Yeah, I mean, when the, you know, there was already speculation going out that Brian Kelly might be fired at the end of the season. That's, you know, that's what we were thinking. But at the time, he was 5-3. Yes, they just lost to Texas A&M. They didn't look good in the game either. And one of the most expensive rosters in college football, but you did not think it was going to end up this way. And if you read all the stuff that's been reported out there by The Athletic and Pete Thamel and all those guys, you read through that, you know, basically it came down to the fact that Scott Woodward, who also, by the way, hired Jimbo at Texas A&M and then fired him and then left to LSU and hired Brian Kelly. Two hires that this guy should not be making any more football hires. Yeah. If I was at LSU's administration. But anyways, yeah,
when you're responsible for the two biggest buyouts in football, in college football history, I think he might be looking for a job.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But basically it came down to, he told Brian Kelly that, or at least that's what's being reported, that he told Brian Kelly that he needed to make a change in staff, and Brian Kelly refused. And so they said, all right, bye. And let me just tell you this, Jesse, if you told me that I was going to make $720,000 a month to not coach your football program, where do I sign the dotted line?
It's like Ed Orgeron said when they fired him, like, which door you want me to go out of? Just make sure to check the bounce.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I think the problem with Kelly, too, is like, man, it was never a good fit from the day they announced it. And, I mean, he's kind of a dirtbag human being, too. Like, the way he degrades as a coach, his assistant coaches and stuff like that. So, I'm really not surprised that that tenure did not last long. Yeah. You know, again, we'll see, man. But you know what's funny is I said on the last show that I thought there were two jobs that Jimbo would be willing to bend over backwards for, LSU and FSU. And so, now we have Beetlejuiced Jimbo Fisher back to Tallahassee, and now we might get a repeat of his previous tenure where he's flirting with LSU before he's even the coach here. But how crazy would it be? And this is the last thing I'll say on LSU, because this ain't you know, plant the tiger or whatever you want to call it. But man, how crazy would it be if we just all got the band back together? They brought Ed O back, who just said he's ready to get back into coaching. The prodigal son of Louisiana returns there, and then you bring Jimbo back here, man. Maybe we could get Urban back for a turn at Florida. Let's not do that. But man, it would be
kicking our butts.
Yeah, it would be pretty crazy. But no, I just think the LSU job opening was worth mentioning at the opening of the show, because again, I think it does affect the you know, the ripple effect of the coaching carousel. It does have an impact, because it is a really one of the top premier jobs in the country.
Well, I'll say this, Jesse, in my mind, and this is just my opinion, you guys, I'd love to hear in the comments kind of what your opinion is, but I think the LSU job opening is the best job in college football right now. I mean, I've been on that campus, and if you've seen those, I've not been inside, but I've been on the campus. I've touched the Tigers gold state statue out there, Death Valley. Like, that, their football facility is insane. Just absolutely insane. They have all the money in the world at LSU for football. They live, breathe. They are psycho fanatics about football there. Any coach going in there has a chance to be successful. I mean, think about this. Their last three coaches, Ed Orgeron, Les Miles, Nick Saban, all won a national title there, right?
Yeah.
And so for Brian Kelly to not have succeeded that, he went 34-14. He was the SEC West champion, but it just never looked good. And he couldn't beat Florida State. He could beat Florida State at Notre Dame, but he couldn't beat him at LSU. it's the best job out there. I think Penn State's probably 2, Florida's 3, Arkansas I have it 4. And those are probably your top 4 jobs that are open right now. If Florida State were to go in that, then Florida State would be among the top 5. Best jobs open.
Yeah, for sure. I think you'd probably come in ahead of Arkansas. And then I think you'd probably be somewhere around where Penn State's at, just because they're in a better conference than you. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you also, with LSU, you get the state to yourself, essentially, to recruit. Yes. You get the pick of the cream of the crop there. And yeah, on the way out of LSU, I just want to say a quick thank you to Brian Kelly for the memories, obviously. Yes. Appreciate those two good wins. That was pretty awesome. So yeah, man, I mean, hey, it couldn't happen to a better person, but at the end of the day, that's going to be someone, that's going to be a job that's going to be, you know, it's going to be a big job open. And so big you're going to have to look, which again, I don't think right now you could outbid who LSU and Florida, you know, with the situation that we're in anyway. Yeah. But anyway, enough about LSU.
He's going to go spend time with his family.
Man, it's like, what better job could you have in America than a bad coach with a big buyout? Like, I just, it just blows my mind that someone will get paid more money to not do his job than I will make. We will probably combine make in our lifetime. Jeez. You know, I mean, outside of a Mega Millions or a Powerball ticket, which Florida State would be good instantly. I promise you that. I would pay the buyout and then I would buy all the players. It's just wild. It's a wild time to be in college football. But let's turn our focus to Florida State a little bit here. We're going to talk about some more updates. Then we're going to get into that game. Javon Boggs has been ruled out for this game, so you will be down with him. And also, Michael, I think Thomas Castellanos is questionable for this game. I think he might even be close to doubtful. Mike Norvell said that he would not have been able to play had they had a game last week. And just with some maybe, I don't want to read too much into it, but like cryptic social media posts with Kevin Sperry and things like that, I think he might be about to start this game. And so I think that could change a lot. And just to keep that in mind as we get into talking about this game, that you might see Kevin Sperry start this one. Tommy, he's been banged up. And I'm not going to even say that that's a bad thing, right? With Tommy being banged up and his limited mobility, it's almost maybe he should have sat against Stanford or something like that, you know, just to kind of let him get healthy. Because when he's not healthy, he's just not been the same. And so what better time if you were going to start Sperry than a time you could get him 2 weeks to get ready as a starter? Because we also know from the practice notes, from what Norvell's talked about, that Tommy didn't really – he wasn't even able to go the early part of the bye week. So Sperry was probably taking the majority of those reps. Obviously, you still have Brock Glenn on the roster as well, but they've really been going primarily with Sperry in cleanup duty there. So I think those are two big updates for this game that you could see, man. And there are some questionable things around the Wake Forest quarterback position too, where their starter did miss the last two games with a thumb injury. So we'll talk about more of that when we get to the offensive section. But, yeah, man, I think you could see a backup make the start for Florida State in this game.
You know, I was wondering if this was the 7. Okay, so almost close. Eerie, Jesse. Last year, 2010,
when we went to Brocktober.
We went to Brocktober. Okay. Yeah, game six. We went to Clemson and Brock Glenn started, right? This year, game seven, the quarterback that we're paying $800,000 again for the second straight year is likely to be out. And we're going to the unreadied freshman, freshman. At least Brock was a redshirt sophomore, I think, last year. Here we are again in the
just a regular sophomore,
regular sophomore in the same situation again, back-to-back seasons. Like, I know
it's a crazy place to be.
Look, we're doing a comprehensive evaluation, okay? Yeah. So we're just adding on data points over and over again. But yeah, you know, I know the concussion protocol, that hit, you know, that he sustained against Stanford, which was a dirty play. You figured that if there was a game last week, you knew he wasn't going to play. But to be now in game week and to still have some questions. Now, I did hear Mike Norvell say that they were working towards him being available for the game. But also, just like you said, reading the tea leaves, seeing the social media posts, it's maybe more looking like he probably won't be. But we won't know that until the injury report comes out.
Yeah, and he's still been dealing with the ankle too. And honestly, I think a lot of it is gamesmanship, right? Yeah. I would be the least bit surprised to see Tommy out there at least warming up to try and you know, just let it be a game time decision to throw Wake off. There's no point in tipping your cap to him one way or the other. But I do think this is probably where you see Sperry make a start. And, you know, again, I would just like to see Tommy get healthy. And honestly, you know, the conundrum that you're in with this team, and we've talked about this before, is I think you're at some point, look, you need to win games, period. Like, if you're Mike Norvell, in your mind, you need to win games, period. And whoever gives you the best chance to do that is who needs to be on the field.
Yep.
But I think you also think, okay, well, if I truly am getting 2026 and Tommy's not going to be back, at some point I need to see what Sperry gets and start building in, because you got to go on the road to Alabama game one next year. You need to start getting him some reps. So I think at some point, you know, when be damned, you need to start preparing for next year too. I mean, because this season is essentially a wash. And so it's a difficult position that you're in, But, you know, I'm sure Tommy wants to go if at all possible. But there is that mindset that at some point you might need to flip that switch and go with the guy who's going to be here next year if you're going to be here next year.
Yeah. But it again, as we're building this comprehensive evaluation, we said this last year. Okay, well, you got to get Brock in because we got Alabama coming to Doak Campbell Stadium in the first game of the season. You got to get him ready. Who started that game? A transfer quarterback started that game. So in my mind, and I'm not saying I'm already out on Kevin Sperry. Like, I'd love to see what he can do against Wake if he ends up playing. I'm just saying we're here again.
No, I agree. I think the only thing, the main difference I would say is I don't think you felt like Brock was ever it. Mm. I think you probably feel like Sperry is good enough to be the guy going into year two that you can start. I mean, they might go to the portal again because we know, you know, Mike's got an addiction. Hey, man.
Yeah.
Got any more than portal quarterbacks? You know what I'm saying? Like, he's got an addiction, man. He just can't help himself. So we'll see. I mean, but, you know, I think you do need to think about if things keep going the way they are and you do plan on being here next year. I think you do need to really consider giving Sperry some reps.
Well, I think you made a great point of the fact is, let's say he's not here. I mean, let's be real. I mean, at least from what we understand, Sperry is a Gus Malzahn type quarterback.
Yeah.
Can he adjust? You remember when Gus was fired from Auburn, I can't remember what the quarterback's name was. Was it Jared Stidham? One of them was a Gus Malzahn type offense who could not fit into Brian Harrison's offense.
I think it was Bo Nix.
It was Bo Nix. They just didn't work.
Yeah.
It did not
work. Then he went to Oregon.
Then he went to Oregon and he blew up again, right? Because it just did not fit. And I'm worried that if Gus is not here next year because Mike's not here next year, then you're in the same scenario where you're going to try to stick a square peg in a round hole with Garen Sperry. Yeah.
Which this is one of the reasons why I've said, you know, since we talked about the Mike firing conversation, which is why I don't think you can let this run too long, because then you're going to be recruiting the wrong types of players for, let's face it, there's not a lot of people running a Gus Malzahn offense. There's not a lot of people running a 3-3-5 defense. So if you go, say, 2 to 3 more years of recruiting the wrong types of players, it's only going to make it harder for you to turn around and start over.
Yep.
And so that's why, like, yeah, Sperry might hang around, but if you go to a different style of offense, he's probably not going to hang around either. Right. It's just hard because no one knows what's going to happen in 2026 with Mike yet, other than Michael Alford probably.
Right.
But yeah, so that's just something to watch in this game. You could see Kevin Sperry, you could see Tommy Castellanos, but we're going to talk about that game. Michael, you know, the best part of this weekend, I'm still watching this game. I'm going to actually be at a game, and it's a game that I can't lose in. And so I don't even have to worry about who's going to win, which is going to be nice. So I am headed down to Jacksonville for the Georgia-Florida game this Saturday. My wife's a Georgia fan. You know, she's a great sport. When we go to Florida State game, she does the whole Florida State thing.
Amy is awesome. Yeah.
She is she is Georgia 1, FSU 2. She wants us to win all that. So I'm not. I am a bad sport. So, like, I'm going to be that one dummy down there in Jacksonville with Garnet and Gold on, you know, talking smack to Gator fans still. So, but it's nice because I get to go to a game, man, and I don't have to worry about who wins and who loses. So I'm excited for that one. It's always a great time tailgating down there. I'm telling you, it is an experience. If you ever get the chance, don't miss it. If you're going to be in Jacksonville, hey, maybe you're just going to be down there. And you see me, I'll be one of the 10 idiots with Garnet and Gold on down there. Come say hi to me. We can cry on each other's shoulder. It's fine. It's all good. But excited for that one, man. But if you are going to be in Tallahassee for this game, it is homecoming. Make sure you stop by and get you some new gear from Alumni Hall FSU. They got great stuff, guys. I mean, it's a lot better than the record that the team has. So you just go there, you check it out. They got basketball stuff. They got baseball stuff probably starting to hit the shelves too as we transition into the spring sports. So make sure you check them out. 1415 Timberlane Road in Tallahassee, or shop online at alumnihall.com FSU. Make sure you save 10%. With code SPEAR. You can use that online or in store to save 10% on your order. Michael, if I can go into the devil's den of Georgia versus Florida in Florida State gear, y'all can get some FSU gear to wear into Tallahassee.
That's right.
But it is funny. We were talking about this before the show. Like, this is typically, it's not been bad to be down there, but this year it's going to be a little bit hard because, you know, last year was really hard because we were terrible. But at least this year, when we're all standing around, me and Georgia and Florida fans, we're all standing around talking, I can be like, hey, which one of us has a win over Alabama right now? I'll wait. Go ahead. Because that's only one of us that has beat Alabama. So that's about all I can hang my hat on. But yeah, man, it's going to be a fun time down there. But I'm still going to be able to hopefully watch the game after it's over. And hopefully we'll be able to have a post-game show as well for you guys. But man, let's talk about this game that we have in Doak Campbell Stadium on Saturday. Florida State comes in at 3-4, disappointing season. Wake is a surprisingly good season so far at 5-2 under the new head coach. We'll talk about that in just a second. 7:30 kick on ACC Network. Spread is Florida State favored by 8.5. Either Vegas is sipping the Kool-Aid a little bit too much, or they just don't got something going on, Michael, because I don't – They have stopped sending the experts to watch our games, because I don't know how we keep getting favored. And it was like this last year. We were favored in a ton of games up until the end, and it was like, man, this is crazy. But Florida State is over a touchdown favor, 8.5, over under 51.5. So your implied score here is going to break down to about 30-21, FSU getting the win at home. But I will say this. I saw Perfield Steele, the last 8 meetings between these two teams in Tallahassee have gone for the under. So maybe if you are the wagering type, that's something you could watch there. Now, Florida State does have a landslide lead in the series, 31-9-1, but Wake Forest has won 3 of the past 4 meetings. So, again, this is not going to be just a run-of-the-mill Wake Forest game, right? They are not – it's kind of like Vandy, man. They're not necessarily the punching bag of the conference anymore. Mike Norvell is at FSU, is 8-5 coming off a bye week, so – better than worse, but not great either. So at least we do come off a bye week. So like you said, man, you've had time to kind of heal up a little bit. You've had an extra week to prepare for them. Nothing in front of you other than Wake. So you've had some extra time there. So that's good. But let's talk about this Wake team, and then we'll throw it back to you, and we'll get in some offense and defense here. So Wake did go 4-8 last year, 2-6 in conference play, and out was Dave Clawson. Did great things there with what he had. The slow mesh is gone finally. In comes new head coach Jake Dickert. He's only 42. He's a young guy. Comes over from the West Coast at Washington State, where he was 23-20 in 3 years as the head coach there. Best season was against mostly Mountain West teams. Because I'll be honest, man, when I saw this hire, I was like, I don't think this guy's going to be great when you talk about coming into Wake Forest. He had Cam Ward for 2 seasons out there. He had John Mateer for a season out there. And they still couldn't really win games until they started playing Mountain West teams. But I'm going to say one thing. This might be scary going forward. Because if you have an eye that brought in Cam Ward and an eye for quarterbacks that brought in John Mateer in back-to-back seasons and you just didn't have enough money to keep them, ooh, man, you're not going to have enough money to keep them at Wake Forest. But if you can get a season out of them here and there, Wake Forest could be a team that might win some games going forward.
Yep.
The thing is, though, man, only 5 returning starters for Jake Dickert in year 1 at Wake Forest. He brought in 35 transfers. 9 of them came from Washington State. And they are off to, like we said, a 5-2 start, 2-2 in the ACC. So by all means, I would say overachieving for year 1 under the new coach. But yeah, man, I mean, this is another one of those. Before we get into the road to get to 5-2 and talk about some of their games, man, this is a guy, a young, energetic coach that's come in and he's done that Cignetti type of flip where you bring in 50 something players in year 1 and it's paid off, man. They're already eclipsed their win total from last year and, still with some winnable games on the record.
You know, Jesse, have you asked yourself the question, how in the world is this working? These kids were at James Madison with Kurt Cignetti. They were at Washington State with Jake. And they come to, let's be real. They come to higher D1 programs, right? And how are they winning? You were at a lower program getting your butts handed to you. And then you come to a better program and now you're winning. Like, wow, that is fascinating. Yeah. What do you attribute that to?
I'm going to say good coaching and development.
Oh, as we
it's not like on... when you take players from Bama and Georgia and lose with them in the ACC.
the cumulative evaluation. We just keep stacking on data points. I mean, it's just interesting how he's done it. You know, like you said, he's brought his players over from Washington State there and he's gotten Wake into the season. And, outside of the Georgia Tech game, which they royally got screwed in that game. That was a terrible call by the referee there. If they'd win that game, they should be, they should only have one loss, in that game. And, and let's be real, they would have blown out SMU had they not turned the ball over 5 times in the red zone. That would have been a blowout win, which would have made us even more like this is not going to be good for FSU on Saturday. Yeah. Like, this is not going to be good. But that's why that score is close there. I mean, they're a good-looking team just from watching the tape. You know, they play hard. They're not very skilled, which is crazy.
Yeah.
That they only have two losses. They're not very skilled on offense or and they're decent on defense, better than what's expected. But overall, as a team, they're going to play hard nose. You know they're going to fight. And if you don't come ready, you're going to get beat on Saturday.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, Wake Forest has always – it's I believe, the smallest university in, like, Power Four before a lot of the realignment they were. They don't have a lot of resources there. They've always kind of had to do more with less. From a talent perspective, it's hard, you know, to get a lot of talent and keep it there because of the NIL and stuff like that. So, really, it's just – a lot of what they have is lower Power Four team transfers and a lot of FCS transfers, and they've done well with them. And look at their 5-2 now, they still have North Carolina at home and they still have Delaware at home. So they're going to, by all intents and purposes, probably at least be bowl eligible, if not win 7-8 games in year one under Dickert. So that's, it's really impressive stuff, but let's talk about the road to get here. So game one was a little sketchy. Now 10-9 over Kennesaw State. But, you know, again, you're talking about your very first game at a new school. And so they skate by with a win there. But then they clean things up a little bit, and they beat Western Carolina, who is an FCS program, but they beat them 42-10. Then they go back in game three. They lose 34-24 versus NC State, who's 4-4 on the year. And there, man, it feels like the ACC Wheel of Destiny is back. Like, you can't predict 1 week to the next in this conference. And then game four, they lose 30-29 in overtime against Georgia Tech, who is 8-0. And as we've already discussed, they got absolutely hosed in that game, should have won the game. And then they go back and get a win the next week, 30-23 at Virginia Tech, who's 3-5. Then they beat Oregon State, who is just awful this year. They are 1-7. They were 0-6 when they played. They beat them 39-14. But hey, Michael, you know, it must be nice to see a team, to be a fan of a team that can go on the road and beat a West Coast team. And they did it with a backup quarterback. We went on the road and lost to a backup quarterback.
That's right.
So there's that. Then they which I think this is one of their most impressive wins easily, was beating SMU last week, 13-12 at home. SMU's 5-3. And that was with a backup quarterback as well. And like you said, man, they had 5 turnovers in that game. And 3, SMU had 3. So they had more turnovers, they had more penalties, and they still managed to win the game. Like you said, if they don't have 5 turnovers in the red zone, they probably blow them out. And so you can see that Wake, what concerns me is Wake has gotten progressively better throughout the season. We have gotten progressively worse. And so this is, you know, I bring up their schedule to say, really, Georgia Tech is probably the only good team that they played. SMU is probably one of those fringe good teams. Yeah. But, I mean, right now, I can't say that we're better than NC State. I can't say that we're much better than Virginia Tech. I can't say that we're better than SMU. So, I mean, they're competing and beating teams that are doing better than you are. So, man, again, you look at that last game against SMU, and we're going to talk about the offense and defense here in just a second, but this is the first – Wake was the first team to hold SMU under 20 points. They put up 30-plus points versus ACC opponents the previous 3 weeks, Clemson being one of those. They were the first team to hold them under 350 yards with only 246. SMU put up 429 yards versus Clemson the week before. And I know Clemson's not good, and they were playing their backup quarterback in that game. But still, I mean, you can't deny what Wake did in that game, and it was really, really impressive. So, man, give me some final thoughts on that schedule, and then we'll talk offense, defense.
Yeah, you know, West Kennesaw State and Western Carolina, like you kind of throw those out just like you throw out Kent State and East Texas A&M, Commerce, right, or whatever it was, the Lions. But when you look at an NC State game, I mean, they were only 10 points. I mean, that was they played tough. They played that game tough. Yeah. Obviously, Georgia Tech, they got screwed there. Virginia Tech, you know, they won that. Oregon State, they blew out. Oregon State is basically a poor FCS school right now.
Yeah, they're terrible.
They're terrible. And then again, SMU. I mean, again, when I went back and watched a film of that, they literally had SMU dead to rights 5 different times. Like, if they punch it in there or at least get a bunch of field goals, this game is nowhere near the closeness that it is. This is a really decent offensive team, a decent defensive team we'll get into as well. I mean, the schedule now gets tougher, so we're going to see if what we've seen so far continues with Wake Forest, as now Florida State will be their toughest test. I know Florida State isn't good, but Florida State by talent composite is the most talented team that they've faced up until this point of the season. So this will be a tough test for them.
Yeah, athlete perspective.
Yes.
You know, I'm going to go with Georgia Tech and SMU probably, at least on the field, a little bit tougher. But on paper, maybe we're the toughest there.
Yeah.
But hey, man, again, like you said, there's some opportunities for Florida State to win this game. I mean, it's not like Wake is – they're not world beaters. They're not out here just blowing everybody's doors off. But let's talk about the offense, man. No more slow mesh. Thank goodness. I think everybody hated watching that. It was just, gosh, the most frustrating offense to watch ever. So the slow mesh is out. Now you're going to see more of a power spread with a lot of play action, a lot of outside zone runs. That's what they really like to do. It's funny, actually, their offensive coordinator was played at Alabama years ago. And there's actually a funny video of him out there making fun of Nick Saban, doing an impersonation in the locker room.
Ezel kid. Rob Ezel.
Yeah. So he's all grown up and running his offense now. But yeah, power spread, lots of play action, a lot of outside zone runs. Actually, 63.5% of their runs are outside the tackles. So they are going to try and spread you out and run, and they have a mobile quarterback. Now, it depends on who's playing. That's the thing we'll get into when we talk about this offense. We don't know who's going to be playing. It could be Robbie Ashford. It could be DeShone Purdy. DeShone Purdy started the last two games as Ashford has had a thumb injury, but he did play a little bit versus SMU, so he may be able to start versus Florida State. We'll see. I'm not quite sure on that yet. We'll have to wait on the availability report. They do have a decent run game, and we'll talk about that running back in a minute. The kid is talented. Pass game leaves a lot to be desired. So I think Florida State does have some opportunities in here. Now, let me set the stage a little bit before we talk about this Wake offense with who they've faced.
Yeah.
So far this season, we know they're 7 games in. They have faced 0 top 25 scoring defenses, but they faced 3 in the top 50. So they haven't really faced any elite or high level defenses. That doesn't mean ours is either, because it's not. But they faced a few pretty okay defenses in there. They faced 0 pass defenses, even in the top 60. So their secondary really hasn't been tested yet. Their passing offense, 0 passing defenses in the top 60. So they haven't really faced a tough passing defense. They faced 4 passing defenses ranked outside the top 100, plus an FCS team. So again, they've had a pretty easy pass defense, and their passing offense still isn't very good. So that kind of tells you where that's at. They have faced 1 top 25 rush defense and 2 in the top 50. So it hasn't been the hardest slate of defenses, is the point of taking away from all of that. But they are scoring on average 26.7 points per game, 77th in the country, 27 points per game versus Power 4 teams. Passing offense is 245 yards a game, 59th in the country. But here's the thing. There is a little bit of smoke and mirrors with that passing offense. So they do throw for 245 yards a game, which is 59th, as I mentioned. But they are 107th in passing touchdowns with only 8. They are 125th in completion percentage at 56.4. So they throw it a lot. They just aren't very good at it. Rushing offense is 149 yards a game, 77th in the country. But this is kind of the inverse of that, right? So they are 60th in rushing touchdowns with 13 and 55th in rush yards per carry at 4.49. So the run game is a little better than the number shows on paper. And when we talk about that run game, we can start with the monster that they have in the backfield. And this kid is good, man. Demond Claiborne, 3rd consecutive season at Wake Forest with over 500 yards on the ground. He had over 1,000 yards last season, 6.65 yards per carry. Currently this year, the kid is talented, man. So they got a really good running back there in the backfield. Third downs, have not been so good. 36.5%, 102nd in the country. Red zone offense is terrible. 131st, 72% scoring, 9 touchdowns, 9 field goals. Explosive plays over 20 yards. They have put up 39 this year, which is 32nd or 36th in the country, and 27 have come through to pass. So they're kind of like a Gus Malzahn, right? Run, 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 pop a shot over top. And so that's where a lot of their explosives have come from. But this is different than what we've seen the past couple weeks, where it was basically every one of their explosive plays came in the pass game. They can run the ball too. And so, man, let me talk about the quarterbacks real quick, and then I'll throw it back to you, and you can give me some thoughts on this offense here. So when you talk about, we're going to assume Robbie Ashford is going to be the starter, and just going with that. Number 2, he is a redshirt senior. He started his career at Oregon, did not play there. Then he transferred to Auburn. Then he transferred to South Carolina, and now he's at Wake. So, man, he is a rambling man. He has been around the country and then some. Started 9 games at Auburn in 2022. Otherwise, he's only played 260 snaps in the 2 years before he got the Wake. So he didn't play a whole lot other than the years at Auburn. He did not play, as I mentioned, against Oregon State. He did play some against SMU. So we'll see if he's available for this game. Out of the ACC, out of 18 quarterbacks listed, because, you know, some teams have used multiple quarterbacks.
Right.
I did put a 100 dropback minimum to kind of filter on this, to kind of get it relevant to what his body of work has been. He is 15th in pass grade, 16th, this is out of 18, 15th in pass grade, 16th in QBR, 10th in yards per attempt, 16th in completion percentage, 16th in pass yards, 18th in pass touchdowns, 11th in big time throw percentage, and has the fourth highest turnover worthy play percentage. What all that means, he's not a great quarterback, man. He's not. And so this is, again, Florida State should be able. You face some pretty good ones so far. You know, Ty Simpson and Carson Beck, and the kid from Pitt looks actually really darn good right now. This is not that, but he is a mobile guy who can hurt you with his legs. 59 attempts, 228 yards on the season, 4 touchdowns, 2 fumbles. He is actually their second leading rusher. He did run for 850 yards at Auburn in 2022. He had 12 fumbles that year, which is insane. But again, man, he's only thrown for 3 touchdowns on the season to 4 picks, 58.3% completion percentage. So, man, when you look at the Robbie Ashford, when he is at quarterback, you're going to see a lot of play action. You're going to see him use his legs, going to play off his mobile ability, but he's not lighting things up as a thrower of the football. And which is good, because we know our secondary has been our weakness the past few games. And so this is actually, you know, we talked about against Stanford where it wasn't a good team, but I didn't like the way it matched up. This is a little bit different, right? And just in case, real quick, in case DeShone Purdy does play instead of Robbie Ashford, he is number 5, big guy, 6'4", 228, started 6 games at Charlotte last year. I think this was actually the guy who went to transfer to Florida, thought he was going to start over DJ Lagway and then stayed for like an hour and a half and left because he realized that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
He has appeared in 5 games this season with 2 starts. As a starter, he's 29 of 55, 52.8% completion percentage, 4 touchdowns, 2 picks. But it's been a tale of 2 games, man. Threw for 4 touchdowns versus Oregon State with 0 picks. Terrible team. Then he comes back and he throws for 2 picks with 0 touchdowns and 3 fumbles against SMU. So I'm sure they're going to want to play Robbie Ashford if at all possible. But that's your 2 quarterbacks there. Give me some thoughts on these quarterbacks, and then we'll continue with the offense a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I think obviously they're going to want to go with Robbie again. You know, he obviously is the more experienced one. I mean, I'm not saying he's the best one of the three. He's just the one more experienced. He's, you know, 3 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, but he gives you that dual threat ability as well too. He can trigger that offense pretty well from what I've seen on the film there. As well as the Purdy kid, you know, 5 TDs, 2 interceptions. You know, had to fill in a back row, but only 52.6% completion percentage. So he's not a guy that's chucking it around with a lot of accuracy. I mean, again, Robbie's not that much better at 58.6 as well, but at least he's a lot, you know, he's been there, he's done that. So you're hoping that and we're assuming he's probably going to be the one that is playing as well too. And then again, like you said, I think you're spot on in the sense that this offense wants to run the ball first and foremost, and then they want to set you up for some deep shots. They're going to throw a lot of East and West stuff at you. So you got to be disciplined there. You got to make sure that you are sound tackling, that you're communicating very well, right? You don't want to get beat over the top, but you also don't want to just be bludgeoned by the run game. This is actually one of my keys to the game, is that you have to force him to be one dimensional. And I would say is you make him beat you through the air.
Yeah.
Make him beat you through the air. Like, you know, you're putting 6-7 in the box and you're telling your corners, listen, he's not that great of a passer. Don't get beat, right? You know,
right.
Hey, Tony White, let's not play our guys 10 yards off so they can just throw 5-yard hitches all the time for the whole game.
You're hired.
Yeah, exactly.
Co-DC, Michael Hinton, co-DC, hired.
So, yeah, that, I mean, if they can do that, if they can force Wake to be one-dimensional here and really just stop the run, or at least slow it down significantly, force him to win with his passing, keep him contained in the pocket. This is going to give Florida State a great chance to walk out of Doak Campbell with a W.
Yeah, and a couple more things on the quarterback position that I do find pretty interesting when you look at Robbie Ashford is they're not going to ask him to do a whole lot, right? The deep passes, the deep shots, only 14.1%, 10 to 19 yards, 21.5%. What's really interesting when you talk about him, man, is First off, his passing between 0 and 9 yards, which is 27.6% of throws, is actually his weakest like area. He has a 51.1% completion percentage, which is almost what it is on deep throws of over 20 yards. And it, he really struggles to throw the ball short. 47.2 PFF grade in 0 to 9 yards. And I think a lot of that, man, is because he's just like, you know, the jokes that you see, like when a quarterback plays bad and they're out in their backyard and the guy runs like 2 yards and just rockets it into his face. Like, this guy just doesn't have any touch. So like, you see a 2 yard route and he's slinging that thing. And so it is interesting to see how rough he has been in that 0 to 9 yard range. But one of the other things, and this might be the highest percentage I have ever seen scouting a team, is 30.7% of his throws are behind the line of scrimmage. So it tells you they really just use that as an extension of the run game. And so they just basically want to get the ball to a lot of their playmakers in space, and they don't want to put the game on his arm. They would rather get it to the playmakers and let them do in space. As far as pressure goes, man, I think you got to dial up some pressure this time. Like, if you're going to load the box to stop the run, you might as well bring some pressure too, because we know the linebackers can't cover. So you might as well have them bring pressure. So far this season, he's been kept clean in 74.9% of his dropbacks. He's been pressured in 25.1%. His PFF grade for clean pockets is 82 and 28.5 under pressure. He has been significantly worse under pressure. So, man, you definitely got to try and get him off his spot. But again, he's a mobile guy, so you can't let him get out and hurt you with his legs. As far as wide receiver goes, freshman Chris Barnes does lead the team, 28 receptions, 476 yards, 3 touchdowns. They do have 4 pass catchers over 200 yards already.
Yep.
So they do like to spread the ball out. For reference, we only have 2 so far this season that are over 200 yards.
Pass
block efficiency. You know, the it's weird with this offensive line. Like, they're not special, but they're certainly not bad. Pass block efficiency, they do grade out at 20th in the country. They've only allowed 8 sacks so far this year, which is top 20 in the country at 16th. Solid. Their rush yards per game is 55th. But a lot of that we know is helped by Ashford's mobility. And so that is kind of the big part of it there. It does help them out a lot, but it's not a bad group. So, man, I think to kind of put it into a nutshell here, when you talk about this offense, it is a offense that relies heavily on its ground game and the legs of the quarterback. And so it will be interesting to see if Robbie Ashford does go in this game, because he is clearly the more mobile of the two. But it's not a special offense, but it is good enough to beat you if you don't get that run game in check. And so, you know, I think this is a game where, and we'll get into it in the keys, but like, I think Florida State's going to have to score some points to win this game. I don't think it's going to have to be deep into the 30s, because Wake's offense is not that great, but it's not a bad offense. So I think you're going to have to score close to 30 to win this game.
Yeah, I do too. I think you're going to have to get close enough there. And I think from a decent defensive standpoint, your goal is to try to hold this offense, you know, at least under 30 points. You know, like you said, the under has been most of the time here at Doak Campbell Stadium. So, man, if you can hold them to, you know, 20, 25 points-ish, you're giving yourself a really good chance from a defensive standpoint to allow your offense to hopefully score more than that to win the game. And again, you got to make them one dimensional. I love your idea about, hey, if you're going to stop the run, man, you might as well, you know, bring some pressure, get him off his launch pad, but make sure you contain, because he can run. He will run on you. He's got 228 yards. He averages 3.9 yards a carry, 4 touchdowns. Like, this guy will run. So you got to make sure you play contained as you are blitzing. Let's not just blitz wildly. Okay. But I think if you could do that, then you give yourself a good chance to win.
For sure. And guys, if you're enjoying this content, go ahead and drop a like, subscribe. We would greatly appreciate that to help us continue growing. We are pushing for that 3,000 mark. We are getting pretty close, man. We would love to have you guys help us hit that mark. Again, you guys are just as much of a part of this show as we are. So again, just check on that like and subscribe section. If you're not subscribed, maybe you are, or maybe you're not and you think you are, just double check, hit that subscribe button. We would greatly appreciate it. It helps us grow, helps us reach other Noel fans, and it helps us be able to keep the lights on around here to keep bringing you guys the content that I know you're not happy with the team right now, but we're trying to bring you the content that you love talking about Florida State. Also, if you'd like to take that one step further, you can join the channel with a membership. It is only $5 a month. We try to make it really cheap, and we always try and let you guys choose what content you pay for, because we're trying to keep everything out from under from behind a paywall here. So you can check that out. Hit the join button. We have some new members that have recently joined. So I just want to say thank you to all of the PTS tribe and all of those that have helped join. Again, everything goes back into helping this become a better show for you guys. Also, some of the things we do at games, we're going to have a pretty big tailgate at the NC State game coming up. I just found out where our parking passes were for the game. We are literally row one in front of the stadium of the parking lot. I can turn around and spit on the stadium. I won't do that, but maybe after the game. But make sure you check us out and come by if you're going to be there for that. So, man, again, we appreciate it. And none of this would be possible if you guys aren't doing those things. So we appreciate you guys wholeheartedly. But, Michael, let's talk about some defense here in this Wake Forest defense. And it's a weird spot to say, man, because even when you've talked about Wake in years past, it's always been the offense that you've been concerned about. And can the defense do enough? Well, this is kind of the opposite, man. This is a defensively, pretty much defensively led team. Yeah. And head coach Jake Dicker is a defensive guy. And so he's come in and he's kind of put his staple on this team so far. They do like to bring some pressure around 37.5% of dropbacks, or 37.5% of the time they are bringing pressure, but it's been over 40% in the last three games. They have really crunk up the pressure. I looked it up, and against Kennesaw State, they only blitzed 21.1% of the time. I think it was Oregon State, they blitzed 50% of the time. So they are cranking the pressure up, and it is followed on the field. I mean, your pressure percentage as far as dropbacks in the pass game, SMU was under pressure 46.3% of dropbacks, Oregon State 38.7%, Virginia Tech was under pressure 50% of the time, and Georgia Tech 28.6%. So they're going to bring some pressure. They're going to do some disguised blitzing. They like to bring guys up the middle and try and, you know, a delayed blitz. They like to play a lot of games on the defensive line. And this is a solid defense, man. Like you said in the opening, they don't have a ton of talent over there. It's just a well-coached, disciplined defense who understands what they're being asked to do, and they do it well. But to set the stage again here for this defense, so far this season, they have faced one top 25 scoring offense, two in the top 50. So it's not been kind of a murderer's row of offenses, right? They have faced zero top 25 passing offenses, but two in the top 50, and one top 25 rush offense, two in the top 50. So they haven't faced a really a slate of tough offenses, right? And Florida State, as a, I got to say, decent offense, because I was on the train of it was still pretty good until that Stanford game. I mean, you put up 13 points at Stanford. I don't know that I can count on you to score 30 like I was in the past, right, with Gus, where you're like, okay, you might get 30 a game. Man, this is – after that one, I'm a little bit still shell-shocked of what this offense is going to do, and we might have a backup quarterback in this game. And so that's not a good time to go against a solid Wake defense. Now, clear, this ain't Miami's defense. This isn't Alabama's defense, but they play really well for the skill that they have. They are giving up 18.9 points per game so far this season, 26 in the country, 22.6 against Power 4 teams. Pass defense, 180 yards per game, 20th in the country. It's going to be hard to throw the ball in this team. I mean, right now, I was actually blown away when I started looking up these stats. So you are talking about 20th in total yards allowed at 180 per game, number one in pass yards per attempt at 4.8, number 11 in pass touchdowns allowed at 6, number 10 in completion percentage allowed, number 6 in passer rating allowed, and they're 26 in most pass attempts against. So it's not like teams just aren't throwing the ball against them like we talked about with Stanford 2 weeks ago. They're throwing against this defense, and this defense is bowing up, man. This pass defense is legitimate. They are top 20 in most categories against the pass. And you're talking about they faced an SMU. They faced a Georgia Tech team. Now, the run defense is also pretty good, man. Run defense, 131.6 games allowed, 49th in the country, number 21 in touchdowns allowed with 7, number 34 in yards per carry allowed. So, again, man, this is – there's really not a weakness in pass and rush. They're both pretty good, but that pass defense has been legit so far this season.
Yeah. Actually, this is the part that actually has me a little bit feeling a little bit better about this game, is because the thing that they do well on defense is the thing you don't do well, which is passing.
Yeah.
The thing that they do, what I'm going to say is middle, or as my son would say, 6-7, you know, they're middle of the road, or mid, as you want to say, is the thing you do the best, which is run the ball, right? So even though they're 49th in the country, 35th in yards per attempt, and all like that, the thing you do well, except for Stanford, obviously, for some odd reason, is you run the ball. And that's what Florida State has to get back to on an offense, is you've got to run the ball. You've got to be just dead on sold out about making sure you run the ball. Let's get away from, you know, Castellanos has been throwing almost 25 to 30 times. Jesse, what's the record again when he throws over like whatever the thing is?
240 yards, and it's not good. It's like 1-8 or 1-9. Yeah,
it's not good. Let's get back to running the ball. What we were doing against Alabama when we ran for almost 300 yards against what is looking like one of the best teams in the country right now. Let's get back to doing that against Wake Forest, because, and then what we can do is as we're running, they're going to be forced to come up. Then we can go and we can hit them, and then we can take that 20th ranked passing defense and put some stress on it. But man, let's do what we do best, which is run the ball.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think you want to see that Alabama-esque type of game where Tommy had around 160 yards passing, about half of that on the ground with his legs, and you're not asking him to do too much. Or Kevin Sperry, whoever it is. I would imagine if Sperry is the starter, you're probably going to really heavily lean on that run game and the short passing. Obviously, you know, not many teams have a Deuce Robinson, so at least you have that kind of ace in your back pocket. But, yeah, man, I mean, you got to score more than 13 points like you did against Stanford. There's just no way you're going to win this game. But continuing about that defense, turnovers forced, they have forced 9 turnovers this year, 4 interceptions, 5 fumbles. They are 81st in sacks with 14. So not a whole lot of – they have been blitzing and creating pressure, but they haven't had a whole lot of sacks there. It is another kind of undersized defensive line. Third down defense, they are 41st in the country at 35.5%. Red zone defense is abysmal. They are giving up scores on 88.5% of trips, which is 102nd in the country. But I will say they are pretty decent at holding you to field goals, 12 touchdowns, 11 field goals on the season. So you're going to want 7, not 3 in this game. Explosive plays, they've given up 17 on the country, which are 17 on the year, which is 4th in the country, Michael. They are not giving up many explosive plays. 12 through the pass, 5 through the run. So that's the defensive rundown there. Let's get into some final thoughts and prediction here for this Wake Forest game. You know, man, I just look at Florida State is coming into this game and they are desperate. Like, I can't sit here and say this is a line in the sand game for Mike Norvell. I've said it the last 3 games or the last 2 games at least, and the line was wiped away in the sand. So I can't say that he's going to get fired if they lose this game. Although I think if you do lose this game, again, like I said, man, I don't think that vote of confidence is going to hold up very long. So I think this team is desperate for a win. I'm hoping that coming off a bye week, you've had an extra week to prepare. But more than that, you've had time to get healthy. Now, unfortunately, I don't know how healthy you're going to be at the quarterback position. But, I mean, if you have Micah Pettis back and he's healthy, if you have Squirrel White and Randy Pittman and all these guys that aren't the quarterback, but they're very key to this team's success, especially if you are running a backup quarterback out there. You know, you put Sperry in there and you're down Squirrel White, Randy Pittman, and Micah Pettis, oh, we're in trouble big time. So you hopefully are at least healthy in this game, or at least the healthiest that you can be. You've had some time to rest up. Obviously the next X factor is Sperry might start this game. You know, we just don't know the health status of Tommy. I think it's going to be a game time decision. I think he's going to want to play, but it might be a protect him from himself type of scenario if he's just not ready to go. Maybe he's break glass in case of emergency if something happens, but you still have Brock, and I would expect them to probably go with Brock first if Tommy just was not able to go. So that's another thing to watch in this game. And the last thing for me before we get into some of the keys here, Michael, is with my final thoughts is this is a matchup game. This is the things that I talked about where the last couple of weeks I was worried because, you know, Pitt was just like Virginia. Stanford was just like Virginia. They prefer to throw the ball more often than not, and we can't stop anything through the air. And so I was worried that you are the better team, but you don't match up well in that game, as we've alluded to throughout this preview. Right now, it's hard to find a way to pick Florida State in this game, but I like the way you match up in this game, right? They don't throw the ball well. We don't cover well. You successfully took the runaway against Miami and they threw the ball over your head. Well, this ain't Miami's pass game. So if you can take the run game away, you have a good chance in this one. And then you flip to the other side. Like you said, they stopped the pass well. Well, we don't really throw the ball well. So if you can run the ball down their throat and you can make them throw the ball, I think you have a pretty good chance to win this game. And so, you know, just getting into the quick keys here for me is run the ball. You got to run the ball because you're probably not going to have maybe you don't have Sperry or Tommy. Maybe you don't have Tommy. So you need to run the ball to keep the pressure off Sperry. I think you also don't want to throw into their strength. And so you want to be able to establish the run. 2 for me is score 30 points. If you don't score 30 points in this game, I'm going to be concerned about you winning. So Wake Forest this season has only scored over 30 points one time versus an FBS team, and their defense was terrible. That was the Oregon State game. They have also not allowed over 30 points versus an FBS team in regulation this year. I know you're going to say NC State scored 34. One of those was a pick six.
Yeah.
So the Georgia Tech was in overtime. So they've really kind of held in that 24 to 27 point range in regulation without counting the NC State pick six. So, man, again, if you can get to 30, I think you have a pretty good chance of winning this game. And then my last key, and I'll throw it back to you, is make them throw the ball. And we probably have the same keys for a lot of this. But again, their quarterback play has been kind of the weak point of this team. Make them throw the ball to win. And I think if you can do that, I think you have a pretty good opportunity. But man, you can't outgain them in yards and do the things that you did against Stanford and not go down there and get points. You have got to score points. I don't know that this is going to be a 13-12 game where you get lucky enough that Wake fumbles the ball or turns it over five times in the red zone. That may have been the outlier. So, yeah, I think you need to try and get to that 30-point mark to win this game.
Yeah, well, you know, my final thoughts is, you know, the Mike Norvell and all the coaches, Pat Surtain with his interview, you know, they all came out and said, you know, we got really close during the bye week. That, you know, we're cutting out the outside noise, all of that stuff. We're just focused on ourselves, doing all those things. That's great. That's awesome. You've lost four straight games. You're 5-14 in the last however many games you are. I know some of those players weren't here last year. I know some of the coaching staff wasn't here, but this is the predicament that you're in. 90% of this fan base wants your head coach fired. Like, this is what they're walking into on Saturday. It's homecoming. I think that they're going to get a lot of cheers. I think there'll be a lot of cheers for all the players. But I think when Mike Norvell is announced as head coach, I think you're going to hear some boos. I really do.
I think you're 100% right.
I think the players are going to have to overcome that. And it's a big recruiting weekend as well, too, which is unfortunate. I think you have to overcome that. I think you have to focus on what it is. Look, you need to be about winning the game. And speaking of winning, my keys are very similar to yours. Number one, you got to run the ball. I mean, that's what you got to do. I don't care who's that quarterback, Tommy or Kevin Sperry. Run the ball. Establish the run again. Number two, you got to make Wake one-dimensional on offense for FSU defense. Take away that run. Take away what they do best. Take away that run and force them to beat you with their arm. If they beat you over the air, then you know what? It wasn't going to be your day anyways, right?
Yeah.
Take away the run. And then number three, man, I just want to see, again, and this is probably the last week I'll say it because I keep saying it and it just keeps, you know, one end or the other, even though they don't hear us, is I just want to see Bama version FSU one more. Come on, can we please get back to that? Those are my keys.
Yeah, just some of it. Like just a little bit of it, because you haven't looked like that at all. I mean, you have gotten worse every week. So maybe, I mean, I will say, you know, you at least played Pitt tight at home. You know, you got kind of whooped by Miami, but you didn't quit in that game. So maybe being at home is good for you to get back here in Doak. Yeah. But man, as we get into these score predictions, Michael, you know how I played train conductor for the last 3 weeks trying to get you to jump on to the Fire Mike Norvell train, and you finally jumped on it with me after the Stanford loss. This really, really breaks my heart because you guys know as well as I do, I bleed garnet and gold. At every chance possible, I will pick Florida State to win the game. You've been on the pick the other team train for the last couple weeks, and I think I am finally ready to punch that ticket, man. As much as I love Florida State, as much as I believe in this team at home coming off a bye week, you have question marks at quarterback right now. You know, I would at least say this. Maybe if Robbie Ashford doesn't go for Wake Forest and you play and they do start DeShawn Purdy, maybe this flips my pick, right? We'll go with the asterisk on that. If DeShawn Purdy plays, maybe I think Florida State wins, comes out on top in this game. But if Robbie Ashford does play and he is their starting quarterback, golly, Michael, I hate to say this against friggin' Wake MF and Forest at home off a bye and it's homecoming. But I just have no reason to pick Florida State right now. They're 5-2 coming off a win against SMU. They've already taken Georgia Tech to overtime and should have beat them. We've lost four games in a row, including flipping Stanford with a backup quarterback. So unfortunately, I'm hoping this is reverse psychology. I have it a little bit closer than you do. I have the under hitting, and I don't have us covering. I got Wake Forest 27, Florida State 20.
That is heartbreaker. Listen, man,
Man, I hate picking against Florida State.
I know. It is not fun when you come over to this dark side of this. But, you know, at some point you just have to realize Jesse, I am 5-2 in our picks on the season. I got Alabama wrong, thank goodness, and I got Virginia wrong. But I've been on it. I picked for Stanford to win. I picked for Miami to win. I picked for Pitt to win. Obviously, East Texas A&M and Kent State to win. I mean, it is what it is. And as much as I believe that Florida State should walk into Doak Campbell Stadium and win this game, not even just win, but going away, based on the on-paper talent composite of this team, they should win this game going away. They are not going to win this game going away. In fact, the other team is going to win this game going away. I have Wake Forest winning 31-14. And that's our season.
That's terrible. That is not 31-14 would be bad. Now, I have a follow-up question to that. If they lose 31-14 to Wake, does Mike survive next week?
He should not. He should not have survived Stanford, but he definitely should not. Again, let me just keep this right here. If they lose 31-14 to Wake Forest on Bobby Bowden sacred field at Doak S. Campbell Stadium, okay, he should not make it off the field without a pink slip. He should be let go immediately before the post game. Offers should come due the post game.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, y'all. We messed up not doing it last week. I'm sorry. We fixed it. I agree. I think if you lose or get throttled by Wake like that, I think you're in big trouble. But you know, we'll see, man. It's a must win for Mike Norvell, and this team, and we'll just leave it at that. So, guys, again, the post game will be a little bit touch and go. We'll see how that goes. Again, I'll be down in Jacksonville. We'll try and get that sorted out for you guys. And then we will see you on the next one. Check out Alumni Hall. Save 10% with code SPEAR. And I know I haven't written any articles in the last few weeks, but I will get you guys squared away with the team preview this week. So we'll catch you on the next one. We might not have picked them to win, Michael, but daggone it, it's still always go Noles.
Always go Noles.